happen. Like the Rambam explains in different places, in a different place, this will happen. When Mashiach will come, Eibishter promises then that he will broaden the boundaries of Eretz Yisroel. Like it says in Chumash, that Eibishter told Avraham Avinu that his children will inherit the land of 10 nations. Now we know that when Yidden went into Eretz Yisroel, their land only was of 7 nations. But there are 3 lands which Yidden did not inherit when they entered Eretz Yisroel and will only receive when Mashiach comes. So this is what the prophet is alluding to. When the Torah tells us that there will be a time when the Eibishter shall broaden the boundaries of Eretz Yisroel, which this will be when Mashiach will come, and at that time, we will have to add 3 more Arim Mikvah. So this is a third place where the Torah tells us about the coming of Mashiach. The question in the Sikha was, why did the Rambam need 3 places in the Torah where the Torah tells about Mashiach? If it were just saying one place about Mashiach, so already we know, so someone who denies in Mashiach is denying in a pasuk in Chumash. If it says, what's the difference if it says it 1 time, 2 times, or 3 times? The fact that he denies in a pasuk in Chumash, he's denying in Torah. And another question the Rebbe asked in the order of the Rambam, because we know that the Rambam was a very, very orderly person, and his sefer he wrote very, very in exact order. So the question is, the Rambam, the first 2 psukim, he separates into 1 paragraph, 1 halacha. And the third proof, he starts a separate halacha. So it seems from this that the third proof is different than the previous 2 proofs. The Rambam separates them. So this would seem to imply that there's something special about this third proof that makes it different than the previous 2 proofs and is teaching us something different. And that's why the Rambam separated into a separate halacha. In short, what the Rebbe explained in this sikha is that in the first 2 places, all we know is that the Torah tells us that Mashiach is going to come. Bilam told us Mashiach is going to come. What makes the third proof unique is that it's a mitzvah. It's a part of a mitzvah. It's a condition of a mitzvah. The Eibishter puts one of the details of a mitzvah and depends it upon the situation, on the coming of Mashiach. So what it is if it's a mitzvah? So what a mitzvah, the Rambam teaches us in a different place. That a mitzvah, the mitzvah of the Torah have a special uniqueness to them. And that is, that a mitzvah will be forever and ever. A mitzvah can never change. The Torah is not subject to change. A mitzvah is not subject to change. The Eibishter gave us 613 mitzvahs and that can never change. And that is something which is specific for the halachas of Torah. If the Eibishter tells a Novi something, promises something us through a Novi, so then it's possible that it will happen, it's possible it won't happen. There can be different things that can make it that that promise shouldn't happen. Even when we know the promise will happen, but it's not that it's not subject to change. But like we learned, it's only the reason why it doesn't change is because the Eibishter made a certain system where he doesn't want it to change in order that we should be able to determine who is a true Navi and who is not a true Navi. So the Eibishter has to make a system where we can test the Navi and make sure that he's not saying a lie. So the Eibishter says, in certain situations, it will definitely not change. But not because it's not subject to change, but only in order that the system of determining a true Navi should be able to be. But Torah is not subject to change. Just like the Eibishter doesn't change, Ani Hashem Leishon Nisi, the Eibishter doesn't change. So the Torah, which is the Eibishter's Chok, and the Eibishter's Rotzen, doesn't change. It's not subject to change. So if Mashiach would just be a promise, the Eibishter promised, maybe through our Chatoim, Chas V'Shalom, we can rule it. Maybe something can happen that should make it that it shouldn't happen. So therefore, this is what the special added quality, or I should say quality, the special milu that happens when the Eibishter makes it part of a mitzvah. When the Eibishter says it's part of a mitzvah, so it has to happen. Because a mitzvah can't change. It's an impossibility that a mitzvah should change. So the Eibishter made this part of mitzvahs, so it's not subject to change. It has to happen. Because a mitzvah, we cannot detract from the mitzvah. The question that was raised in the Sikha was, Seemingly, even if it wouldn't be part of a mitzvah. But Mashiach is not only a promise to a prophet, to a Novi. It's a pasuk in the Torah anyway. It anyway is part of the Torah. So what's the difference if it's part of a pasuk in the Torah stam, just a pasuk in the Torah, or it's part of a mitzvah? Either way, it's part of Torah. The whole prior discussion is only when we're comparing mitzvahs to promises through a Novi. But here we're comparing parents, all in the Torah. One pasuk is a promise of Hashem written in the Torah. Another pasuk is a mitzvah in the Torah, but it's all part of the Torah. So on this that I've explained, there's another point. Whether we have to translate a pasuk in Chumash literally, or whether it can mean in a spiritual way, but not literally. When we have a pasuk in Chumash, there's a pasuk in Chumash. So obviously when a story happened, the story happened literally. But when we say that that pasuk is forever and ever, it doesn't mean the pasuk literally is forever and ever. The story happened once. It has a lesson for us forever and ever. So when we say the Torah is everlasting, does it mean it's everlasting literally? Obviously not. But the stories of Chumash have everlasting messages for us, lessons for us. But when we say that the mitzvahs are everlasting, what do we mean? We don't mean that they're everlasting literally. It means that we literally have to fulfill the Tayag mitzvahs forever and ever. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we can always do all the Tayag mitzvahs when we don't have a base in Migdash, so there are many mitzvahs we can't do. But that's not because the mitzvah doesn't apply forever. We don't have the setting where we can do it. The moment that setting returns to us, so we have to do it. So it's not that the Eibishter uprooted has to show that we can't do the mitzvah. We don't have to do the mitzvah literally anymore. The obligation to do the mitzvah literally remains. But we don't have a setting to do it. The person doesn't have a, he doesn't have a towel, he doesn't have a beged, he doesn't have clothes, he doesn't have tzitzis. So he doesn't have the feel of tzitzis because he doesn't have a four-cornered garment. The moment he gets a four-cornered garment, he has to put on tzitzis. We don't have a base in Midrash, we don't bring a korban. So we don't have to, but the moment we get a base in Midrash, we have to bring a korban. We can't build a base in Midrash for our goals. The moment we are able to, we have to bring a base in Midrash. So we don't say that base in Midrash, no more kachute, only a roof is a base in Midrash. No, the English wants a physical base in Midrash. We don't have the setting where we can do it, so we're forced, we never can do it. But the mitzvah remains forever and ever. So when the English writes in Chumash, Mashiach is going to come, so then a person can sit back and think, what does it mean Mashiach is going to come? Does it mean Mashiach has to come literally? And maybe it means that we'll have a lot of goodness in the world, and we'll be able to devote themselves to learning Torah, a spiritual geula. Maybe that's what it means. We'll find a chassidish meaning to geula and say that's what the Torah means. How do we know it means literally kipshute, that there's going to be a boss of Adam who will take us out of Golis and bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll build a physical base and Mikdash, and we'll have everything. But how do we know it means a literal redemption for Gashmias? Because it's part of a mitzvah. A mitzvah, the Rambam writes, someone who says that a mitzvah is lay kipshuta, it's not the way we can do the mitzvah in a ruchnistic way, it has spiritual meaning to it, but it doesn't mean literally. The Rambam writes, such a person, he's a rosha. He's an apikatus. The Rambam has a lot of degrading terms for such a person because he's uprooting a mitzvah. So this is the difference. This is what we gain by saying that the Eibishter made Mashiach part of a mitzvah, that now, someone who says that he doesn't believe in Mashiach, he's uprooting a mitzvah. He's not only not believing in a written pasuk in Chumash, but he's uprooting a mitzvah. So he has that status of Epicatus because he's a Christian. And this is also, everything has implications in halacha. It's not just a theoretical question, but this is the question that the Rebbe posed in the last paragraph before we learned that, let's say someone says, he believes that the Eibishter promised us Mashiach, but that's what's written in Chumash. But he says, Yidden sinned so much that we ruined it. The Eibishter promised it, but we ruined it because we're so bad. We're so evil. We don't keep Teiru mitzvahs. We're so bad. So the Eibishter said, listen, for such Yidden, I don't want to bring Mashiach. The question is, what is the din? What is the status of such a person? Can we say he's uprooting, he doesn't believe in the Teiru? He says, I believe in every word in the Teiru. I believe that what's written in the Chumash is true. The Eibishter promised Moshe Rabbeinu in the Teiru that would be Mashiach. He's a kafir. He's not a kafir. Seemingly, he's not a kafir. All he's saying is that the Eibishter changed his mind. Now, maybe let us say the Chazal told us that the Eibishter is not going to change his mind. So he's denying maybe in the Chazal, but is he denying in the words of Chumash and Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rambam wants to say that someone who denies in Mashiach is denying the Pasuk in Chumash. He's not denying the Pasuk in Chumash. He's denying maybe in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that we should know that this promise is going to surely going to happen. So he's not believing what it says in the Gemara, but is he not believing what it says in Chumash that time? That's only if we're looking at the promise that the Eibishter gave us. So he doesn't have a din of Apikadus, of a denying of Chumash. But because Mashiach became part of a mitzvah can change. So he says David should change his mind, he's not bringing Mashiach anymore, so he's uprooting the mitzvah. So he has a din of Apikadus because he's uprooting a mitzvah. He might not be a din of Apikadus and denying the Chumash because he believes that David should told Moshe Rabbeinu to written the Chumash. But he's an Apikadus because he's uprooting the mitzvah. So that's why the Rambam separates this into a separate halacha, because it's a different din of Apikadus. It's a different din from the first two places, two promises in Chumash that Mashiach is going to come. So we know that someone who doesn't believe in it has a din of a kaf. He's not believing in a promise that's written in the Torah. But from the third proof, that it's a part of the mitzvah, it's a different type of Apikadus. If he doesn't believe it, it's not only because he's not believing what's written in Chumash, but because he's uprooting a mitzvah. And uprooting a mitzvah has a different, another status, a separate din of Apikadus. And that is even someone who believes what is written in the Chumash, but he says David should change his mind, so he's also the same application. Because he's uprooting him. Now, we can go further and explain another angle, another way, another circumstance, another possibility where a person can say he believes in the Chumash, and he's not an applicator because he believes in the Chumash. He doesn't believe in Mashiach. He doesn't deny in Chumash. He doesn't believe in Mashiach. And yet, he's an applicator. The next thing. V'yesh Leimah. It's the first. V'yesh Leimah. And we could say, V'yesh Leimah, hey, nafkamina. That's the V'yesh Leimah. Nafkamina means another difference. But Amen. Let's say someone who says as follows. Now he says the Eibush does not bring Mashiach because the Eibush changed his mind and not worthy. But he has a different way, he says. He says, She'eimei Maimon. You know, I think in the copies, how many columns there? Four columns. It's the first of the four columns, all the way on the right. All the way on the right side. The last column of the first page, not the first of the three columns. It's the last column. But Amen, and the Yesh Lamed Eid Nafkamina, but Amen, someone who says, Any Maimon Begula Asika Love, he doesn't believe in Mashiach's coming. He translates and explains the words of the Torah about Mashiach's coming, not literally, meaning he says, yeah, Mashiach's coming, but what does Mashiach mean? Mashiach means that we have to travel to Eretz Yisrael. When it's written in the Torah that Mashiach's coming and we're being gathered together, it doesn't mean literally we have to get up and move to Eretz Yisrael. It means a ruchnizdike achdus, when all Yidden will gather together and learn Torah and be devoted to Yiddishkeit and devoted to Torah mitzvahs, and we're living a ruchnizdike redemption. There's a very famous word that says the mitzvah would ever sit in, but the uizgefelt Mashiach. They weren't lacking Mashiach. What does it mean? It says the mitzvah would ever sit in, they were very, very poor. Very poor. They had the biggest sodas and panos. But the mitzvah that ever succeeded were so devoted to Lima Daksidis, like their whole life was learning Daksidis. The Mittler Rebbe used to say, when the Mittler Rebbe used to say Daksidis, he used to say Daksidis for hours and hours. It's famous that from all the Rabbein, the Mittler Rebbe used to say Daksidis the most of all the Rabbein. He used to say Daksidis for hours, and even in his printed for him, you look, a minor of the Mittler Rebbe can be for 50 pages, like nothing. A minor is 40 pages, 50 pages. Because he used to say Chassidus, he used to speak and speak. So his Chassidim used to also learn like that Chassidus. All day long, their whole life was learning Chassidus. So there's a famous saying, the Mittler Rebbe, because what is Mashiach? Mashiach is that when Mashiach, the Rambam writes it, that when Mashiach is, that the world would be in such a state, in such a matzah, that Yidden will be able to devote their whole life to understand the Eibush, what Das is Hashem, knowledge of Hashem. That even out the middle, to the Rambam writes. So the Mittler Rebbe Chassidim, who their whole life was being merged, be submerged and immersed in Lima Daksidim. So they were like, Imei some Mashiach, Mashiach like. For a person will say, Eibishter writes in the state, Mashiach's coming. Well, what does it mean, Mashiach's coming? Mashiach's coming means we'll learn Chassidim and Fabrengo Day, we'll forget about our Gashmias, we'll have a good Gashmias, we won't have any Gashmias to worry. And we'll sit where we are, and we'll learn Chassidus all day. That's Mashiach. Is he denying in a pasuk in Chumash? Not denying it. He says, Rabbi, he says, what says in Chumash is emes v'yatzev, it's true, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But what's going to happen? Not that we have to pick up our bags, move out of Eretz Yisrael, have a melech, who'll build a gashmiz based on Middush, and have to bring korbanos b'gashmiz, and our whole Gashmizdik life will change. No. The Eibishter needs this Ruchnizdik of you. So now the question is, someone who believes in that, what is the status of a Yid who believes in this? Can we say he's a denier in Tevis Meshach? He's not saying that what it says in Tevis Meshach is not true. He's saying Eibishter said it. He's saying, he says it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen even. Not like the first person we said the Eibishter changed his mind. The Eibishter said, no, it's going to happen. But what's going to happen? A Ruch needs to give you. So the Rebbe says, L'chuhura, seemingly, E Efshel Leimer Olov, it's impossible to say about this person, Shekeifa B'teir of a Meshach Rabbein, that he's denying in Meshach and Teir. Shehari Meidah the Mashakot of B'teir of a Meshach. This person admits that what it says in Teir is true. Ella, it's only Shesavit that he holds Shekavonas Hatera Ein Lepashtus Inyan Ella Shwekit Tuta. It's only that he holds that the intentions of the Tater. What does the Tater mean? The Tater doesn't mean Geula literally, but in a Ruch needs the Geula. The Gam Imtim Tzuleimar, and even if we're going to say Shezel Heipach Haklal the Ein Bikriyetz Diksha, the Chazal tell us. There is no pasuk that we can uproot from its literal meaning. There's only three places that the Gemara says that even though it says a pasuk in Chumash, it doesn't mean literally if we can uproot it from its literal meaning. But all other places were forbidden to uproot a pasuk from its literal meaning. There was one some in the times of Darajba, one of the daily Horishim, maybe 800, 900 years ago, and he was also a very big philosopher, Yiddish philosopher, okay, and they wrote him a lot of very big going mamash, the greatest ever in his time. He's a Talmud, the greatest Talmud from the Ramban. So he wrote, someone once wrote him that in that time the Zehar and the Sifrim that said that Avram and Sarah is a marshal on a Shomim book. Wrote down the Zehar that Avram and Sarah is like the Shomim the book. And the whole thing about Thomas Sori, the whole thing in the Zayin is explained how Sori the Rem is on the book and Avram on the Mishra. So the someone who wrote to the Rajman asked him, does that mean to say that the whole, if we can say that the whole story, it doesn't necessarily mean that it actually happened to today, but the whole story is a whole Mishra. So he answered him, Mamish, that he's an Apikadis, Tichlidus. Chaz was shown to say that the words of Teir are not literally. It means that surely it's a story that happened to Pshute. But besides the simple story that happened, that also the Rem is on the Neshama and Guf. But Chaz is shown to uproot the Pasuk from its literal meaning. So the same thing, if the Torah tells us there's going to be a Geula and the exiles of Yidden will be gathered, so since the Chazal tells us Ein Mikra Yetzi Yidei Tzutzei, that every Pasuk has been translated literally, so someone who says that it means a Ruch Nizdiki Geula, he's going against this cloud, that a Pasuk in Chumash will have to be translated literally. But the Rebbe says, but even so, Tzorech Iyun, we still have to think, it's not clear, in Efshel Leimah, if it's possible to say, Shechol Alok Shein Kevin Potato Meshon Rabbeinu, that the status of a denier in Teda and Meshon Rabbeinu can apply in him, Mishum Shem Mepadish Mekroi Shulei Kipshuta. Rebbe says that even though it's true, that the Chazal tell us the Klal, that Psukim have to be translated literally, but let's say someone who doesn't say that. So what's the status of a person who says that a pasuk is not, doesn't mean literally? Does he have a status of a kefir in Teda and Meshach Rabbeinu? He doesn't. He's denying what is written in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ein Mikri Yetzim Dei Pshuta. The Gemara says that every pasuk has to be translated literally. So he's obviously going against what the Gemara says. He doesn't believe in what the Gemara says. But can we say he doesn't believe in what in Teda and Meshach Rabbeinu? He says, I believe in Teda and Meshach Rabbeinu. I believe in every word. The Chazal gave us a cloud how to interpret the Teda. So he's denying in the way the Chazal said we have to interpret the Teda. But he's not denying in Teda. He's denying in the way the Chazal say we have to interpret the Teda. So now the question, does he have that status of a denier in Teda's Meshach? Meaning in Chumash. We can't. So that is a Tzorechiyun. It's not clear cut. We can say yes, we can say no. It's not clear. It's not a clear thing that such a person has a din of a denier in Teda. And the Rebbe in the footnote to this Sikha, the Rebbe brings down that the Rambam, the Rebbe brings down, from the Medrash, that the Medrash says that in mitzvahs, there's emphasis that it's not clear. The Medrash says like this, that Nevi'im uksuvim were allowed to say and speak in a manner of mushal. But in Torah and in mitzvahs were forbidden. So the question is, what does the Medrash mean by Torah and mitzvahs? Does the Medrash mean anything written in the Chumash? But then the question is, if it means anything written in the Chumash, then why does the Medrash have to say the word mitzvah? Mitzvah is automatically included in Teda. We just say Teda, automatically mitzvah also. Or maybe the Medrash means that Teda, which parts of Teda, the parts of Teda which tell us mitzvahs, that the word mitzvah explains which parts of Teda we're not allowed to say as a moshe. So it's not clear in the Medrash what the Medrash means. The Rambam, when the Rambam speaks about someone who uproots a mitzvah and says that we don't have to do it literally, he's not a Rosh and a Piketus, so he only uses the word mitzvah. He doesn't say someone uproots a pasuk of Chumash, any pasuk of Chumash is literal meaning. He says that this status is only someone who uproots a mitzvah. So from the Rambam it's clear that someone who uproots a mitzvah whose literal meaning has a much stricter din and much worse off than someone who just learns a pasuk of Chumash and says it doesn't mean literally. Now if someone learns the story of Sora, Avraham and Sora, and says it's a moshul, so he's going against the Chazal, but he's not such a big rosh and advocatus like someone who says that a mitzvah doesn't mean literal. So this is why we say that when Mashiach is part of a mitzvah, it gives a different strictness in the halach of the one who doesn't believe in it. Because if someone who comes now and says that Mashiach means a spiritual redemption, so he's got it going against what the Chazal tell us, but not necessarily against what it says in Chumash. Because maybe the Chumash says Geula, maybe it gives room to maybe he can, in his interpretation, he interprets what it says in Chumash, that means Ruchnis. He's not going against what it says in the Torah. He's saying that this is what the Torah means. But if he's uprooting a mitzvah, so then he has the din of applicators. Because a mitzvah, to uproot a mitzvah from its literal meaning, like the Rambam says, that is surely a liar and a Russian applicator. Abu mitzad zeh, sha'guli prad v'get in the mitzvah ha'teira, but because of the fact that gul is part of a mitzvah, oh, therefore, ba'omi sha'guli ti'i kipshuta, harayu meitzi zvara for mitzvah kipshuta. So then he's uprooting the words of a mitzvah from its literal meaning. The cholalov hadin, and therefore applies to him the din that the Rambam says the hareze vadai, that he's definitely badoi, which means a liar, a Russian, not the case. So this is the end of this discussion. Why the Rambam puts in this third proof about Ori Mikvot separately because it gives us a new insight about someone who doesn't believe in Mashiach. Now, in the next paragraph, the next, I should say, chapter 12, the Rebbe is going to now, after this whole discussion, the Rebbe will now say, now we can better appreciate why the Rambam brings three proofs, like we started off this evening. One proof was from the Pasuk that says that the Eibishter says he'll bring back the exiles. The second proof was from the prophecy of Bilam. And the third one was from the mitzvah of Ori Mikvot. It's not just three places in the Torah. Each one of these three places is like from a different type of the Torah, a different category. The first place is a promise in Torah, a pasuk in Chumash, a promise in Torah. The second place is Nevuah. It has a special aspect. It's a Nevuah. It's not just words of Torah. It's Nevuah. It's something that was told to Bilam the Nevuah. The third place is a mitzvah. It's not just a Torah. It's not just Nevuah. It's part of a mitzvah. So these are three places, but each one has a special category, and it gives a different insight and a different strictness to the din of someone who denies it. That's what we're going to now finish off. Better do yet Levi Eidi B'Loshon Rambam. With this explanation, we can also explain another emphasis in the wording of the Rambam. In the second, Sheva Harayim, Parshas Bilam, Eimar, Eimer, and the Rambam reads the proof from Parshas Bilam, he says, Apo Parshas Bilam, Nema, also in the Parshas Bilam it is written, Vishom Nibay, and there he said a prophecy, Vishnei HaMashiach, Shalachorein, a moving, seemingly it's not understood, Tam, Har Goshu Du, what is the meaning to this emphasis? Vishom Nibay, Shenema Vidarach Nevuah, and if we just say it is written in the Parsha of Bilam, what would have been lacking? We know it's written in the Chumash, something that a promise Mashiach is going to come. Why have to say that in the Parsha of Bilam it is written, and there he said a prophecy? Why does that have to add these, and there he said a prophecy? It's written in the Torah, it's written in the Parsha of Bilam. What's wrong with that? But David got the language. And it's very difficult to answer. Shekin Shemad Mashiach Parsha of Bilam. And it says maybe some think that maybe the answer is as follows. Rambam writes it's written in Parshas Bilam. So maybe we would say, no, I thought the guy is up, and so the guy said something. You have to take it seriously. That's why Rambam has to answer. No, it's Dr. Bilam said it, but it was a Nevuah. It was a true Nevuah. So then it says that's very difficult to answer. Because the very fact that these words are written to Chumash, if it was just Shtusim that Bilam said, it wouldn't have been recorded in the Chumash. The Torah wasn't right, just not a Shkaitim that Bilam said. So the very fact that it's written in the Torah, we understand that it's true words, not just Stam-Narish words above them. So that's what the Rebbe says. Difficult to say that the reason why since the Pasuk starts off by, since the Ram starts off by saying Sejo of Parshas Bilam. So the Plehes of Hashem Nema, that's why the Ram has to add that he said a prophecy, the Imlay came, because if it wasn't so, Minolon. How do we know Sheyesh Emes with Divrei Bilam? How do we know the words of Bilam contain Emes to it? That's why the Rambam has to add that's what the Shom Nibet, it's in the book. So this tetis is very difficult. Tarikim and Shepash is doing this to the Tetis Mesha, because by the very fact that Pash is doing is incorporated in part of Tetis Mesha, move and move pushes. So it's obvious. Shedvar Mamitim him. So it's already obvious that it's true words. So why does the Rambam have to emphasize and say that Shom Nibet? It's Yeshleimad, so we can say as follows. The Rambam's intentions is to tell us, teach us, chumra neisefes, an added chumra, strictness, the mishen mind in the middle of Mashiach. Shemes about the shu kei potato meisher abeinu who kei forgam the dir in the vur. Besides denying in the words of meisher and tater, he's also denying in the vur, because there's a special strictness in denying in the vur. And this is what the Rebbe is going to start explaining in the next paragraphs, which I'll just say the kids are now in the next week in Mitzvah Shem will enter in cycle the end of the Sefer, that there's a special din, there's a difference between Divrei Torah and Divrei Novi. Just to give an example, in Chumash, there's many different types of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah Saseh, there's a mitzvah Slaseh. And a mitzvah Slaseh said, there's a mitzvah Slaseh said that the punishment is just korban or malchus. Then there's mitzvahs, avedas, that we do them with chayiv koris. Then there are mitzvahs with chayiv nisa b'dei yogam. There are mitzvahs we get lashes, 49 lashes for them if we don't do it when there was a basic mitzvah of Bezdin. Then there are mitzvahs, avedas that we do, the Eibush that takes the killer, takes away our life at an early age. And then there are avedas that we do that the Bezdin used to capital punishment. So there are many different levels of punishment for the different types of mitzvahs. The Eibush gave us different. Some mitzvahs are more strict, some mitzvahs aren't so strict. There are mitzvahs hamuris, mitzvahs kalt. Mitzvahs were not so harsh and more strict. By a novi, there's an interesting thing. A novi tells a person to do something. The nevuah, obviously, not just he decided. He says, I had a nevuah that you should do so and so. So we're mechuyev to listen to the novi. We have to listen to the novi. It's no difference what the novi tells us to do. If the novi told us to do seemingly the most important shlichus that can be, something which is negated to the whole country, or could be seemingly in your eyes a narishkeit, he tells you go across the street. You don't know.